Nothing to it.
We are ready.
All right, but then I call this meeting to order and I'd like to welcome you to the August 16th, 2024 meeting of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board and invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance. Thank you. All right, we do roll call then, please.
For roll calls for board members present, we have Jerry Bagley.
Here.
Marshall Knopf.
Present.
Tracy Wilkinson here, Brandon McSadden.
Present.
And then virtually we have Chase Turrentine.
Present.
For board members absent, we have Brandy Flores, Nick Goodman, and Trip the Goodman Glover. For board staff members present, we have Frank McGolly.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Heather Santabria. Jessica Carranza.
Here.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Here.
Jessica Wilson.
Present.
Lakeisha Coleman.
Present.
We have investigators, we have Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Kathy Bergeron.
Here.
Alexandra Hill.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Keegan McCall.
Here.
And then out front checking everyone, and we have Amelia Heredia. For legal counsel today, we have Jean Galvin, Assistant Attorney General.
Present.
Thank you. Next item up is an awareness point. The board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters pursuant to ARS 38431.03A1 or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3. Next item, discussion generates the possible action on approval of the regular board minutes of the July 19th, 2024 meeting. Do we have a motion regarding this? Yeah, wait, you guys.
I moved to accept the minutes.
I'm thinking that.
The motion second, all four say aye.
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 Yeah, it's pain.
I think, sorry. All right. All right, next up, do we have any board members who have a conflict of interest in any case today? Hearing no response, I assume we have no conflict of interest. Now, we're going to move to number C. Welcome to visiting barber and cosmetology students and instructors. Got a little thing today, got two instructors out there, nice. Some representation of school. Would you mind introducing your schools for the record? Gateway, wonderful.
Wait, you need my name, I'm sorry. I'm Mary Ledwick. I work for Gateway Community College at Hudson College.
Nicely done. Do we have any other schools?
Image Institute and my name is Peggy Beck.
Very nice. And sir? David, on the forward side of the. Nicely done. Well, we appreciate you coming. We know it's not that easy to come down just to hang out with us, so we appreciate your support for us and for the community. Now we move up to the Executive Director Report, which of course is the highlight of all meetings.
Oh, come on. Now my clicker's not working. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Let me just walk over this computer real quick to see why my clicker's not working. There we go. To start, as always, with my good news and announcement. Wanted to start, we did have one additional positive Google review, just for general quality customer service represent to discuss the customer care team. My second announcement for this morning is the Lexington School Town Hall meeting that is happening on Tuesday, next Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. I checked this morning, we have 74 schools registered to attend, so I'm very excited about that. Looking forward to additional partnership opportunities with schools as a whole within the state. This primary theme of this town hall is going to be statutory and regulatory changes that have occurred in the last handful of months. So very much so looking forward to that. And then my final announcement is regarding our staffing progress, which I have a more detailed report on this next slide. I'm very excited to announce that Rose's additional support staff for the compliance team will begin on Monday. And her name is Morgan Ashley. She is joining us from the State Supreme Court, if I recall correctly. We're excited to onboard her and get Rose's team back to full strength, in particularly in prepping for these meetings and all of those great things that Carlos set a very high bar for.
Frank, could I interrupt you a second?
Yeah.
What time is that meeting on Tuesday?
9:30 to noon.
9:30 to noon. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry. Additionally, we are going to now need to backfill an investigator position for Southern Arizona, because I'm very excited to publicly announce for the first time today that we did conduct 5 interviews for the investigator supervisor position, 3 internal candidates and 2 external candidates. And I'm very excited to announce that our very own Helen Bordelon was the successful candidate and will now be taking on, beginning Monday officially, the 19th, taking on that role as the investigator supervisor. So very excited for Helen. Additionally, we hired a new, as I announced last month, I believe it was. No, I didn't announce this one yet last month. So I did talk about a new position within our business and finance. I talked about Heather moving into the office manager role, and that there would be an additional role as the administrative services officer. We did conduct interviews on that as well. And very excited to announce that Jessica Carranza has successfully been offered that position, which then leaves a vacant, which left a vacant position for our customer service unit supervisor role, which we did interview for last week and have offered that position to Brenda Olivas, who is currently on contract in a customer service role. So lots of opportunities within the organization. One of the things that I have been focused on is creating a career ladder within the organization, a growth pattern, providing annual performance appraisals, giving employees that opportunity for the ongoing but annual feedback, training opportunities to coach them up, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we're now very much so starting to see the fruits of that labor. So we got that one, that one, that one. We did also, why do I not have, I missed a very important person in here. I just realized I did announce her last month, but she had not yet started. Ms. Jessica Wilson is now our licensing and customer care administrator. She has concluded her third full week. She has completed her third full week with the organization. So this is her first board meeting. And I apologize that you are not on the slide, Jessica.
She didn't get a chance to actually.
Oh, wow, for Jessica. Yeah. So with that, Jessica Wilson and I did conduct interviews last week for the licensing specialist. That person's going to solely focus on schools and a new eyelash extension registration program. Those interviews were conducted last week. A decision has been made about a candidate, though the position has not yet been offered to that individual, so I don't have any public announcement on who that individual will be. Additionally, now that we have our investigator supervisor starting on Monday, that person will obviously be intricately a part of hiring the Southern Arizona investigator and our future state of a Northern Arizona investigator, somebody who will solely focus on Northern Arizona, because that, although we do have an investigator assigned to that territory, it's a very difficult to get out into some of those Northern Arizona communities on any regular cadence. So we have decided we're going in that direction, but the position has not yet been posted. And on top of that, we do still have, as a result of Brenda moving up into the supervisor position, and I unfortunately lost a customer service rep last month as well. We do have two vacancies from a full-time equivalency standpoint. However, we did hire this week two new contractors that are finishing up their first week. Today is their first full day on the phone. And so we're going to keep them in those roles for a while, kind of test them to a certain extent, see how it goes, see if they would be interested after a month or two, if they would be interested in taking, you know, coming into that full-time role. And we will certainly do that. But those were those full-time equivalency positions will remain vacant probably for 8 to 10 weeks until we determine how to do that, or what the right steps on that are, given that we have that. So our customer service team beginning Monday will have 4 customer service reps, which is the highest number that we have had in the hopes of driving down that call center wait time, providing world-class customer care. I was hoping to have a financial update for everybody this month. However, because of fiscal year end, our Central Services Bureau is behind. There was also a very large technical glitch in some of the reporting functions in the state financial system. Nothing bad. They just weren't able to get reports run on time. And so I will have a hopefully at the September board meeting, I will have both the July and August financial report for to share with you. Moving on to our testing data. In the month of July, we had 554 candidates test for their theory-based exam, and we had a statewide average passing rate of 74%. There is the breakdown of all of those individual tests there for you to see. Next up, we do have, we did have 489 candidates test in that written practical format with an 81% passing rate. And again, you can see the breakdown of each of the individual testing types on the screen there for you. And board members, I did provide a hard copy of that information to you, so you have that in front of you. And member Tarantine, I did email that to you yesterday afternoon as well.
Thank you.
Next up, we have our scheduled exam. As of August 1st, we had 616 candidates scheduled to test to date. Those go all the way out still to December 30th. That one person has had that test scheduled for about 5 months now, but I think that's one of the really great things about that is that they can schedule that test that far out and be ready to go on December 30th. Of the 616, 280 of those are written practical. 6 of those are Cosmo in Spanish, and one of those is Barber in Spanish. And we have, additionally, we have 336 theory tests scheduled during that same time frame. Next up is our licensing update for the month of July. We were absolutely slammed with new exam applications in both June and July this year. I believe when I ran the numbers, it was about 10% more than it was last year, which I think is a testament to the growth of the industries that we regulate. But it did, unfortunately, slowed us down a little bit in license issuance in the month of July. So we received 416 new exam applications. Of that, 402 were approved, and that approval time frame was 12 days. So we were still within our timeline, but it was double what it was back in May, just because of the sheer number of applications at this point. On top of that, we had 180 establishment applications received. Of that, 174 were issued right at that 14-day turnaround. That with 6 of those being incomplete, it was at 14 days because we hired with Darnay's promotion into the IT generalist. That position was backfilled last month. And so it was a month of transition and training and all of those things. But again, we were still at the 14-day mark. And then from a reciprocity application standpoint, we received 190 applications. Of that, 153 were approved, and we were all the way down to a 2-day turnaround on that. So huge kudos, particularly to our reciprocity licensing specialist, Lakeisha. And again, I'll just remind board members that our incomplete number is always going to be higher on reciprocity just because of the number of requirements, and probably more times than not, individuals are not, we are not receiving their certification from the other state.
Are those establishments new establishments?
Yes. Those are, these are all new.
That's a lot.
This is all new. And I can tell you, because we literally just looked at it earlier this week, we issued from July 1st of 23 to June 30th of 24, and this will be in a future report, we issued, oh, it was like 5,380 new licenses this year. New licenses this year.
A lot of growth.
Across these three categories.
Yes.
Yes.
I think interesting information. A friend of mine who worked at a luck to law situation, she has now, it is required to work there to have an establishment license.
That's great news.
Yeah.
That's great news for all the reasons we've talked about.
Half the room or half the people did not have them, and now everybody's at the party.
That's fantastic. So again, that number I shared, the 5,300-ish, it's brand new in these specific three categories. Because on top of that, on the next slide, is the eyelash extension registration that began in May. As I referenced last month, I've transitioned to the month-by-month numbers rather than from the start of the program to now, just because we're that far along. We approved 25 new training programs in the month of July. Those were all turned around within one business day. And the number issued to date as of Tuesday was 111, but I can tell you like six more have been approved in the last 3 days. So it's higher than that 111 as of this morning. For eyelash establishments, four of those were issued in the month of July, again, with a one-day turnaround, and nine of those have been issued to date since the program started in May. And individual eyelash technicians, 254 of those were approved in the month of July, again, with a one-day turnaround, and the number issued to date is 1,043. It's a large number, and so when you add these numbers on top of the 5,300 that I talked about within the on the prior slide, it was a really, really big year for Barbara and Cosmo. Our customer care update, we continue to see a large volume of calls. We know why. We continue to work with any individual that contacts us, either through the call center or through our email inbox. For calls in the month of July, we received 3,160. The average wait time was right at 11 minutes, and the average handle time was 7.5 minutes. For our email inbox, we were at 947 for the month of July, and that turnaround time, response time, was less than 36 business hours. The call volume, that number, 3,160, is does represent 5 working weeks in the month of July, the way the calendar fell, or 24 business days. So it was actually, July was a handful of business days more than it was in June. So, I mean, we know why the call volume, but it does still tend to be a very large number. Over, just for perspective, the average is over 130 phone calls a day. I can also tell you, that we continue to see very large high percentage. So even when our call times or our wait times start to extend, a lot of those people aren't actually literally sitting on the phone. There is that callback functionality within our system. And so those individuals can opt in and receive a return call within that period of time, whatever that, you know, average wait time is. So yes, there might be some situations where there are longer wait times, but they also didn't necessarily have to physically sit on the call and wait and listen to that wonderful State of Arizona elevator music.
Director McGalley.
Yes.
Deputy Director Shepherd. So on the callback feature, what we are working on, we're not sure that the number is showing that it's coming from us. So oftentimes people are not answering the callback, so they don't think we're calling them back when we are. However, we are working to try to get that changed so they know it's us calling them back so that they'll answer if they're available.
And procedurally, when we do call back and somebody doesn't answer, Procedurally, the customer service rep is leaving a message for that individual to call us back. Now, I will tell you, I learned this week in our Wednesday meeting with that team that a lot of people's voicemail boxes are full, and so we can't leave messages. But there is, we do see a lot of comments about, well, they didn't call us back. Well, I can assure you the callback is happening. The system shows us that it's happening. Might not be answered for the reasons that Kelly's talking about, or maybe the individual got busy with a client, or there could be any reasons why, but the callback does occur.
Frank, if if somebody calls in and they're licensed with us, we do have other contact information, like their email. Do we ever try to look up their information that way and try to reach out alternately if the email, if the voicemail box is full or something like that?
We have not done that to this point, no. But I think as the customer care team expands, I do think we can look at what our opportunities are there. I will tell you, that said, in other arenas where we have attempted to utilize the email, our bounce back rate percentage is very high. So we don't have quality email addresses in the database, or that person doesn't have that email address anymore, or the, you know, there could be, or there's a typo, or we see a lot of at Yahoo's that have three O's in it instead of two, which means it gets back out. Now, when we see those things, like if we see three O's in Yahoo, we fix it. But usually the bounce back has already happened. As we finish the migration into GL, it's going to require email addresses that are verified when those accounts are created. And so we will have better email capabilities in the future.
And Member Turrentine, Deputy Director Shepherd, one of the things when they're calling in, we are trying to verify when they're calling in their name, their email, their phone number, so that we have the most current information on record.
Awesome. Maybe even in the voicemail, when we get voicemails, we could ask, leave your name, number, and email. I don't know, sometimes we won't be able to spell it, but that might give it an opportunity to update the email address. We're getting a lot of bad email addresses.
Thank you. So that was customer care. Next up is our compliance update. We received, in the month of July, I should say, we received 64 consumer complaints. Of that, 30% were within our jurisdiction and available or have been assigned to an investigator, I should say. On top of that, we had 244 routine inspections conducted with an 84% compliance rate. And on in addition to that, 15 specific investigations were conducted. We were out in Flagstaff, Prescott, and Prescott Valley in the month of July. I wonder why an investigator would want to go to those communities in the month of July. And with that, here are our next four meetings. September 20th at 9 a.m. I think we're right in this room again next month. If not, we're going to try to be in this room because it just works better for us. With that, I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Thank you. It's big progress. All right. Now we're going to go up to number five, which is the review discussion, pop action regarding the aesthetic scope of practice statement. You all got those. Is Isabella going to be involved in the presentation?
She is not. Would you like me to introduce it?
That's fine. I can do it.
Okay.
So where this came from years ago, I think 2011, aesthetics were growing rapidly. And because it was growing rapidly, lots of different specialties wanted to participate, nursing, medical, whatever. And we as a group got together at various boards with our representatives, at least, and came up with a scope of practice statement. The agreement was we'd review it every 4 years or 3 years, something like that. And we did the first couple of times, and then we didn't do it anymore. So time went by. The nurses continued to produce their own version, basically telling us all what they thought, which is okay. But we get a lot of questions about changes in aesthetic products, changes in the market. Aesthetics, as I'm sure you're all aware, is very rapidly growing. Most industry sources that monitor us talk about growth rates in the 40% annual range. It's been that way for years. So it is rapidly moving in a large part because of technology. So anyway, Isabel put a huge amount of work into creating an advisory opinion for us to consider to be posted as a way for our licensees to better understand what technologies they can and can't use based on specialties. We've reviewed this 5 or 6 times. She's probably reviewed it 100 times. And if you look at format, is similar to what we did with the nursing board, broken into section over on the right side. Then there are a variety of different types of licensees involved here. Again, the reason the nurses are on here is because they were on the original document that we did as a group. Remember, Fad and I were speaking earlier, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you if you were up there. We might have wanted to consider putting the barbers in here. Because that's not something we've ever explored, but there's not a reason why these opportunities aren't there for them. So I think that's worthy of some discussion, because they are family now, and they were somebody else before this. But now that we're all family.
Those modalities, the galvanic, the Tesla high frequency. So I was just looking through some of the.
Oh, good.
So that's actually taught in the school, where it's supposed to be taught in school.
Right. So anyway, the only modification that I recommend to this is the consideration of looking at the barbers being added to it, simply to be more thorough. And it would require, as it did on these others, going through the barbering laws to see what doorways there are.
Mr. Church, I think that's fantastic. So I think my recommendation at this point then would be, so I would add one point and then make a recommendation for next steps on this is that another huge reason is because of the continued growth and fast pace of the aesthetics industry, we are receiving questions
every day
regarding these items. And so if we have a document we can point to, we can put out on social media, et cetera, I think that was another huge part of that. Isabella did put a great deal of effort and into this work and worked with our very own board chair Bagley, who is our subject matter expert, particularly in the aesthetic services, on the drafting of this document. I think based on this conversation, which I think is absolutely fantastic, what we should do is we should table this to next month so that we can then have Isabella get with Marshall on this document to confirm what items are included in the barber curriculum so that we can include another column for barbers on this document before the board approves it and we put it out there publicly.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, it'll be interesting to look. I know when we moved laser into cosmetology and aesthetics was based on the ability to use electrical devices. So if there's a similar verbiage, that may open the door to a lot of new opportunities for that whole industry.
I think it's great.
I think it's really progressive.
Yeah.
It's what we should be doing.
So you can, sorry.
I'm definitely agreeing that farmers definitely need to have every opportunity available, especially legally. Out there, it's our job.
And if there's services that you're trained in providing, there's no reason to not include it. I agree completely. So then what we'll do, Marshall, is again, we'll table this. So we're not going to vote on this today. We'll table this and we'll take the action item and Isabella and or myself will get with you in the next couple of weeks before the September board meeting so that we can get this back on the agenda for next month. So we can get approval and get it out there publicly. I think I would ask, is there anything else that the board sees in this document other than the barber side of that? Is there anything else in there that you have thoughts or feedback on so that we can try to get it buttoned up and done at the September board meeting?
Yeah, in my case, I've gone through this quite a few times. I think, you know, we've tweaked it into place. She did a really good job by herself. There's a lot of equipment in here that is not real simple to say that's what that thing is. It's sort of a name people use for something that, you know, was kind of technically a different thing. And all of those are sorted down. So I feel like it's solid. Everyone else should have their own input for what they see, but I endorse that. It was really good work.
It's good. I appreciate you catching them.
Yeah.
Could lead to a lot of expansion and driver.
Yes. Yeah. You see all kinds of opportunity there. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's funny too. So we've gone through this for a long time. And it was last night driving home. I was reviewing the data for what's tomorrow. And I thought, how did we miss that? It's so obvious. And yet it wasn't obvious to me at the time because we were facing the same challenge we'd had since 2011. All this one problems. But the world changed. So we can go further. So anyway, I think it's great work and it's developed part. And it's really a major step. I can tell you one last thing about it. The reason we didn't do this the first time was the cosmetology board didn't feel like they had the authority to make a statement in the past about how this worked. They had the nurses do it. I thought that was a weird, but anyway, times change. All right, we good? All right, let's move on. Number six, review discussion possible action regarding legislative committee for 2025 legislative session pursuant to ARS 32503B.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I am before you this morning seeking your input and feedback regarding the continuation of the 2024 legislative subcommittee. As a result, although we were very fortunate to have last year's legislative package get across the finish line, we've identified a number of gaps that were missed through that work. Those items include further clarification on statutory definitions, updating of Barber reciprocity language so that we were mirrored across the board. So there's still currently two paths for reciprocity. So we want to, and ultimately, just to be clear, that makes the Barber reciprocity process easier than it currently is. So the board staff plans to prepare those legislative items for a subcommittee review and feedback, and then make those recommendations. Ultimately, the subcommittee would then make those recommendations to the full board. And additionally, we would welcome any other ideas or suggestions from board members for that inclusion. So last month, and unfortunately, my clicker is not working apparently anymore. I do have a slide up there for everybody's reference. Last year, the board voted in agreement to naming the following five members to the subcommittee: Marshall Knox as a board member, barber instructor and barber school owner, Brandon McFadden as a board member and a licensed barber, Kathy Kalush as a cosmetology school owner, Amy Blackman as a cosmetology instructor, cosmetology school director, and Trista Guzman Glover as a board member of the public. So that was the committee that the board seated last year. I think for continuity purposes, I think it would be great if we could simply continue that, but that is a board decision to make. I think we have got great representation across the industries and also have board members, non-board members, a member of the public, also happens to be a board member. So with that, I would turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, can we just contact those people and verify they're still interested in participating? If we have to vote in that, we can maybe do it next month. I mean, do we need to vote that committee?
I think if there's board consensus to continue the legislative subcommittee, it's never been disbanded.
Yep.
So I think if those folks are interested and the board is in consensus that they're fine with the continuation of that, I don't necessarily think it requires the vote.
Okay.
I wanted to bring it back before the board.
Yeah, I think we're fine with continuing. I just want to make sure that we're still
here. Yep, and I can certainly do that.
All right, cool. No, I think it's great. We need that. There's always something, but it's something needs fixed. All right, that's great. All right, so now we're up to the complaint review and consent agenda.
Also, the compliance administrator, step 1A, recommend for dismissal. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1A recommended dismissal have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations to take other non-disciplinary actions.
Does the board have any questions about any other cases? There are no questions, then I entertain a motion.
Tracy Wilkinson here. I move that we accept that recommendation.
Second, Marshall Knox.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendation on dismissals. Next, the letter of concern.
Step 1B recommends letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1B recommend letter of concerns have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
The board have any questions about any of the 15 cases in the letter of concern? Seeing no reaction, anyone have a motion regarding this group of cases?
Tracy Wilkinson, I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Second, Marshall Knox.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendation. Next section, interview without negotiation terms.
Step 1C recommend informal interviews without negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1C recommend for informal interview without negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendation or take other non-disciplinary action.
Do you have any questions in the board on any of the cases in Section C? Any additional information anybody wants? No reaction. Do we have a motion regarding Section C?
Tracy Wilkinson, I move to accept staff recommendation.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimously, we accept staff recommendations on D, please.
Step 1D recommend informal interviews with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1D recommend for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board's parameters, then we would ask the board to consider staff recommendation or take other non-disciplinary action.
Any questions about any of the cases in Section B? Any additional information that's needed by the minute? Hearing no reaction, do we have a motion regarding the Section B group?
Tracy Wilkinson, I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Marshall Knox, second.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendations on Section B.
Good job, Rose.
Yeah. Thanks for blame your staff.
Thank you.
All right, now we're up to Section 8. Again, I remind you, the board may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any of the agenda item under Step 3 pursuant to ARS 38431-03A3. First page. Do you want us all these under two? Okay, the A is review discussion possible action reciprocity Barbara applicant pursuant to ARS 32323. The first case is applicant Joel Armenta. We have a case on this case.
Lakeisha Coleman will be taking.
Good morning, Mr. Bagley and members of the board. I'm Lakeisha Coleman. I'll be presenting one of the work of our application today for Mr. Joel Armenta. Mr. Armenta has presented all required documents for completing a verbal application. After review of the documents, I have determined that all documents are in good standing. I am here today to see if we are going to approve or deny licensure. If you have any questions about the documents presented, I'll be happy to answer.
Board, have any questions? But you have to review these and you feel comfortable.
Right.
The motion regarding number one.
Tracy Wilkinson here. I move that we accept licensure. Grant licensure.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Motion second, all in favor, say aye.
Sean Reacher.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yes, I found it unanimously, so we do grant licensure. Thank you.
I do have a second.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do have a second application to prevent it for cosmetology out of the country. I did have an application for it for she did present an application on July the 9th. After reviewing her application, I did notice an altered document. After finding that altered document, I did consult with my superior, Kelly Shepherd. She did ask me to request that unaltered document. I did review that document on July 31st. The issue with the second document is that the years were different. The first document was 2021. On the second document, it's 2023. On the discrepancy, so I am here today to see if we are going to accept that document or if we're going to approve the document, or if we're going to deny or approve that document to proceed with our application.
We think this is a license, like a state license or something?
But she is out of the country, but she did present a proof of hours or proof of the practice. So in a different language, it has to be translated. The original document, if you look at the bottom, she was altered, the date was altered, which there's no need to alter a date. We don't need to alter date. So that's why I did request for an altered document. But when I got the second one, the year was changed on the document.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it didn't matter which year.
That does not matter.
Well, in your opinion, do you feel like it's, well, the you, it was like, why would you alter the? Yeah, I'm not, me personally, I'm not. There's no need to alter a document. It doesn't, it seems like a vision, it's a investigation. I motion that we deny the application or reciprocity in case number.
Assistant.
Assistant. Applicant under section 8B, Zara Lagos.
And could you articulate the grounds upon the denial of state?
On the grounds that the documentation has been altered and that we need to do more investigating as far as receiving a documented, maybe just doing some more digging into official documentation.
So you would prefer additional investigation instead of denial at this time?
Well, that to deny at this time. Well, I thought I needed to.
You could table it if you would like and request additional investigation, additional documentation, perhaps a written explanation from her as to why there are discrepancies between the two documents, an explanation.
I mean, at this time, to just deny.
Okay. You can either deny or you can request additional investigation. I kind of heard both, and to do both, I think it's a little inconsistent. Either we're. Okay. Because of the discrepancy between the documents. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we have motion to deny.
I was thinking that, McFadden.
Okay, we have the motion and a second to deny the application. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That may I have a roll call that is.
Oh, we're all calling?
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Morgan, aye.
Oh, sorry, I'll call it. Jerry Bagley.
I'm getting that.
The name.
Name.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Oh, yay.
Brandon Rosetta.
Name.
Marshall Knopf.
Name.
Kate Turrentine.
Name.
I think we got it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Motion.
How we're voting.
So the motion was to deny the application.
Right.
And we had one person in favor of that motion and four against that motion.
Okay, so we're not going to deny it.
That motion to deny has failed.
Okay. So I make a motion that we do additional investigation to give Lakeisha an opportunity to figure out what's going on here. So that way, you know, I'm just to do additional investigations table until next month.
Deputy Director Shepherd.
Sorry.
Sorry, Deputy Director Shepherd, if I may, we're happy to, I think, reach out to see why there was a discrepancy. I do want the board to know that this is the official document that we would need from the applicant in order to approve the application.
That makes perfect sense, but why do we have two that are different? So that's what I want to know. And I'm sure that's what she wants to know.
I just want the board to know there would not be an additional document per se being submitted. Just an explanation.
But still, yeah.
Yeah.
But I made a motion to have that.
Can you do a revote, Marshall?
You can make.
So there's a motion on the table right now.
Yeah. I made a motion to look into it. If anybody supports that idea, we can do that. If not, that would die.
So we did have a motion and a second from Chair.
A second.
So we have to take a vote.
Okay, a motion and a second.
Can we restate the motion and then I'll do?
A motion is that we continue investigation to see whether or not this license should be issued.
For our roll call, we have Carrie Bakley.
Yes.
Tracy Wilkinson.
No.
Brandon McFadden.
No.
Marshall Knott.
Nay.
James Turrentine.
I'm gonna go with nay. Sorry, I thought I was seconding a different motion, so I apologize.
Well, Karen, that die. So let's make a motion that we can understand or then move forward. Someone? If you feel that way, why don't you restate, let's see if we can get it clear.
Okay.
Make sure we do it. I motion that we deny the applicant.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We do a roll call.
For roll call vote, Gary Bailey.
Let's clarify how we're voting. What's yes and what's no?
So the motion is to deny the applicant. So if you want to deny the applicant.
Didn't say.
It would vote yes.
I voted no.
And Tracy Wilkinson?
Yeah.
Brandon McFadden?
Yes.
Marshall Knott?
Yes.
James Turrentine?
No.
Have you agreed?
By majority.
Three to two.
And we did not. All right. Well, so they have notes clean and clear.
Thank you.
All right, so then C in that section is a review discussion possible action to include dismissal of the matter against Yvette Rios, license number BAR 001886, and table of the matter so the correct owner can be named, and possible negotiation on a consent agreement pursuant to ARS 32354B1, and it's our case number 2024-00504, Golden Clifford Barbershop 2, BBE 002051, and that Rios BAR 001186. There's information in section C of your books or your computers or whatever. Is there information?
Yes, Joseph Rodriguez, compliant administrator. I will be presenting this case. And there's, like you said, chronology. So on April 30th of 2024, the board office received an online complaint alleging Golden Clipper Barbershop located at Youngstown, Arizona, was allowing an unlicensed individual to perform services without the proper license. On May 9th, a board investigator, Kathy Bergeron, went to Golden Clipper Barbershop and investigated the allegations of the complaint and spoke with Anthony Bentoncourt, who identified himself as the owner of the establishment. She found no evidence to support the allegations of the complaint. She did inform Mr. Bentoncourt that a routine inspection would be conducted and found that the establishment was operating with an inactive license number BBE-002051, which expired on June 30th of 2022. On June 21st, 2024, a staff recommendation was accepted to assess a civil penalty of $250 for the violation. On July 30th, a notice was mailed out to the last known mailing address on file to the owner and the establishment mailing address. According to the system, you know, we didn't notice Ms. Rios, since she is the one listed in the system as the owner of the establishment. On August 7th, I received and also the AG's office received an email from Ryan Rapp Pacheco Law Firm, indicating that Ms. Rios had acquired the service of an attorney, Lorenzo, who filed a response to the board notice of informal interview. The letter and exhibit are in the folder that she submitted. So one of the assistant attorney generals, Scott Donnell, talked to the Ms. Rios lawyer. And after their conversation, Mr. Donald did inform me that I had to put the case on the agenda so that we could dismiss this case against Ms. Rios, since she is no longer the owner of the establishment. And during that time, I spoke, Mr. Anthony Bettencourt contacted me by email saying that he was willing to consent to the agreement that was sent out, because he did receive it at the establishment address. And he went ahead and signed it and paid the civil penalty.
We're just cleaning this up.
Yes, and then, but I did ask him, did you submit an application to do the ownership change? Which he did. He did, he said it 2 years ago, he did do that. So what I did, I reached out to one of the licensing specialists, Ms. Lakeisha Coleman, and she did look into the data, and it turns out that he did submit the applications. However, it wasn't in Salesforce, but at that time, it was received on August 18th of 2022. The application was complete. However, former staff did not completed the application processes or issued a license. And Ms. Coleman went ahead and approved the application, and we did issue a license to Mr. Bettencourt. So at this time, I would like to ask the board to dismiss the case against Ms. Rios. I don't know if you want to ask the new owner and ask him to pay the civil penalty or just let it go. So I don't know what you want to do with that.
Right, but my understanding, what you said is that the new owner did do a consent agreement and did try to clean this up.
Yeah, he did. He went ahead and then signed the consent agreement and mailed the payment to me.
Really just kind of left over.
Yeah.
So you may want to have a motion to dismiss against Ms. Rios, and a second motion to accept the consent agreement from the actual owner.
Anthony Bettencourt.
Okay. All right, well, I'll make that motion. Regarding case number 2024-00544, make a motion to dismiss this case. And I don't know the number on the other, but whatever number relates to the current owner, except if it's that agreement she already accepted, can we do that? Or do I have to be more specific?
I have a question. So would it, if we're going to go through that path, do I have to generate a new case against the new owner?
I don't know how your procedure works.
We'll need to look at the procedure to determine if we can use the same complaint.
Yeah.
And just change the name, or if we're going to need to issue a new complaint. It seems silly off the top of my head.
But yeah, the fact that you've already signed the consent agreement, the license has been issued, if we work on a way to kind of hold with the record being accurate.
I could revise the consent agreement and add him as the new owner. And the terms so he can find it correct with his name and then just.
Right. Can we go ahead and clean this stuff while she just did it there?
Okay, I think that's fine. Right. Is there an attorney for Ms. Rios on the line? Or in the audience? We had some communication yesterday that she was going to appear, but okay. Great. Right. Thank you.
My motion is that we dismiss this case against Ms. Rios, and then we accept the consent agreement against the new owner, as it already has been issued. Whatever number goes up.
Thank you.
A second.
A motion to second, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, unanimously agree to clean it up, maybe go away. Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right, now we're up to. Yeah, well. To the nice time of day.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, just real quick, we do have two cases at 10 o'clock, and then the remaining will be again at 10:30. So, but on a timing, from a timing perspective, to move forward with the.
All right, I'll be in the text and do that part, and then we'll try to get those two done. And if I read slow, it'll take 30 minutes. All right, so now we're going to move into section nine, the informal interviews. Getting according to state ARF 32573 CB. It's now 10 a.m. on August 16th, 2024. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of cases, scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Board Chair Gary Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves to indicate whether they're a public member or a professional member.
Tracy Wilkinson, cosmetologist.
Brandon McFadden, professional barber.
Marshall Knox, vice chair, professional barber.
Jay Sterrentine, public member.
Thank you. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank McGolly, and the board's attorney, Jeannie Gunn, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time to repeat information the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes the discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask to respect the fact we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request you not to interrupt that process. At this point, we'll swear in the board staff. At this time, I'll swear in our staff members who will testify today. Will the following compliance team members please stand and raise your right hand? Jose Rodriguez, Ellen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Alexandra Hill, Kathy Bergeron, and Keith McConnell. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, Jose Rodriguez.
I do, Ellen Bordelon.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
I do, Alexandra Hill.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Keith McConnell.
Nice to that. All right, before we begin, I want to advise everyone this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it's important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks this. To ensure we have an accurate record, please state your name each time before speaking. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. All right, so we'll moving into the first case, which is in section A, our case number 2024-00560, Turning Point Beauty College, DSL 00230, Five Star Enterprise LLC, the owner, Curtis Holder is president, Tao Din Pham is also a president, and Nguyen Holder is a member.